Previously in Aethoncus, written and read by Alice Dale, David managed to convince Pippa that Jenny's behaviour was totally unexpected and unacceptable. Once more, he proposed to her, and this time, she accepted joyfully. Now they announced their engagement to the delighted family, who were stunned when Pippa suggested a double wedding at the university chapel.
The two couples agreed to invite 20 guests each, having been told by the caterers that 40 was their maximum catering allowance. This was much better than having to use their food rations. Now the only problem left was how to dress for the double wedding. A work colleague of Pamela's had found someone who could supply parachute silk, no questions asked. No coupons needed for that. Pretty white shoes were more difficult to come by, so she used a pair of beige shoes she already had and painted them white. She asked Anna to be bridesmaid and remembered seeing her friend wearing a formal dress for the Christmas party at Garten Avel that she and Craig had attended. It was also made of parachute silk, but dyed a pale lilac, which Pamela decided would be perfect for her bridesmaid. The suit Craig had been given when he turned 18 was looking a bit tired. He had worn it to his belated 21st, and on all the dancing occasions with Daisy, which he'd rather forget, he'd worn his de mob suit, and he didn't have the necessary 40 coupons to buy a new one. He had asked Kevin to be his best man, and over a beer one evening with him, they talked of the problem. Ever resourceful, Kevin suggested he should hire a suit. "Hire a suit?" Craig asked, amazed. "I wouldn't want to wear something that someone else had worn. They're all like brand new," Kevin assured him. "They're dry cleaned after every hire. My cousin hired one for his wedding and he looked terrific." "I'll think about that."
"You'd have to have one too, then."
"Suits me. Pardon the pun. Formal dress hire companies have been doing a roaring trade since they don't need clothing coupons."
"Makes sense. Let me talk to Pam and Mum about it, and I'll get back to you."
Pamela and Pippa were delighted to go with him to help choose his bridegroom's suit. Being English, Pam was tickled pink to find there were formal kilt outfits. At first, Craig flatly refused that idea.
"There's no Stebbings clan," he objected.
But the saleswoman, who had introduced herself as Marjorie Ewing, had an idea.
"Did you by any chance go to Glasgow University?" she asked.
"Yes," he replied, puzzled. "I did."
"Aha," she said, and disappeared, reappearing, holding up a kilt.
"In that case, you're entitled to wear this one," she said.
"Oh, that's lovely. Oh, put it on, put it on."
Then, when she saw his face, full of doubt, she added,
"Oh, please."
"Now, come on, you can't disappoint your bride," the kindly lady urged.
"I'll just try it on, but I'm not promising anything," he said with a pout as he allowed Mrs. Ewing to show him to the changing room.
Pamela was glad she'd asked Pippa to come along. Gripping her future mother-in-law's hand, she said,
"This is exciting, isn't it?"
"It'll be even more exciting if he likes himself in it."
"If he does, he'll have to convince Kevin too."
The best man always has to be dressed the same as the groom.
And what about you, Pippa? Have you decided what you're wearing? And you haven't even said who'll be your matron of honour.
I did ask Irene, but she'll have the baby to look after. So she suggested Iris. I've known her from way back.
Well, you'd better ask her soon. The weddings are only 6 weeks away. Oh, I've been lucky getting parachute silk for my dress, but what will you wear, Pippa?
Well, my best dress is black. Hardly suitable for a wedding. Pam let out a hoot at that idea, just as Craig entered in his kilt and doublet. I knew you'd laugh at me, he said, turning round to go.
No!
Pam and Pippa shouted together, and Pam continued.
I was laughing at what your mum just said about not wearing her black dress for her wedding.
I should think not, Craig said, then wagging his finger at his mother as he moved towards her. OK, now, truthfully, what do you think? And he spread his hands towards the kilt. You don't think the blue's a bit bright? Not at all, said Mrs. Ewing. The paler blue and gold stripes tone it down. Pippa, beaming, said, I think you look fantastic, doesn't he? She asked Pam. Words were hardly necessary. Pam's huge smile of pride said it all. Then she added,
I never thought I'd marry a kiltie, and here I am marrying the most handsome one in the whole of Scotland.
She clapped her hands together to emphasise the point. Does that mean you really want me to wear it for the wedding? Said as if he'd hoped otherwise. Of course she does, Dafty, Pippa exclaimed. With an intake of breath, he looked heavenwards, as though asking for deliverance. Do I have to wear this frilly thing round my neck? Of course, sir. That's the jabot. It and the ski and do are a necessary part of the outfit. Do you mean this wee dagger? He said, holding it out to her. Yes, sir. Are you right or left-handed? I'm right-handed. Then it would be correct to wear it down the stocking on that side. In case I need it. He was laughing now. And you'll have to get Kevin in here to try on his outfit, Pippa reminded him. Oh, God, I hadn't thought of that. He'll kill me for this. Maybe I will need the wee dagger after all. Another thought struck him, which again he addressed to Mrs. Ewing. He didn't go to uni. Will he be allowed to wear this tartan? Oh, I think that will be perfectly acceptable, she smiled. And I agree with your mother and your fiancé. You look as if you were born to wear the kilt. Reassured, he gave a curt, if slightly embarrassed, nod and turned on his heel and marched back into the changing room, head held high. Without a word to Pippa, Pam set about contacting every woman she knew, starting with Anna, Irene and even Christine. And by the time they had all added their coupons to Pippa's, she was geared up for a new outfit. She selected a two-piece dress and jacket in pearl grey and found a little hat that looked like pink and grey petals. June 24th, 1944. Pippa and David slipped into church and sat in the front row. She had bought him a new silk tie to brighten up his dry-cleaned best navy blue suit. Craig and Kevin stood at the altar, two identical kilties, both covered in embarrassment. Out of the corner of his mouth, Kevin said to Craig, You owe me big for this one. Craig had to control himself from laughing out loud, so he just beamed at his pal, knowing exactly how he felt.
The congregation stood for the entrance of the bride on Arthur's arm, with Anna following behind. Craig couldn't resist a quick look over his shoulder to see his bride, radiant in her flowing white dress and carrying the roses he had sent her, which she handed to Anna when she reached the altar, where they were joined by Pippa and David. The chaplain beamed at the four of them, then asked the congregation to be seated. He started by saying, "I have married many a bride and groom. I have even conducted double weddings before now. But I must admit, never when one of the brides was also the mother of the groom." The laughter this caused relaxed everyone, even Kevin, and the solemnities commenced with everyone smiling broadly.